So right now, we can turn to chapter 28 in Acts. You guys hang there. I'm going to go to Acts 9, but I'll keep you there because I'm going to head there later on. But I'd just like to introduce my wife, Felicia. She's right there. I'm going to embarrass her. You got to stand up so they know who you are. That's my wife. We pastor in Greeley, Colorado. Those are two terrorists. The other two are in the back. Praise God. And trust me, when they get to the church building, they just, their minds fall out onto the floor. And they're like screaming, cutting up, doing crazy things. And they're just crazy, but they're good kids. Whenever they go somewhere else, they're good kids. Man, your kids are great. I'm like, where were you at? Did you miss the boat? But praise God. We're excited to be out there. We're excited to see God moving in the miraculous. To see God moving in hearts and lives. That is what it's about tonight. The Church of Acts. We are the extension. We are what God's chosen people to live by signs, wonders, and miracles. When you call upon the name of the Lord, He will deliver. He will set captives free. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible, not stories, because I hate saying that. It's a testimony of Saul's life before he becomes Paul. Every one of us in here could say in some time in our lives, we were in a Saul condition. In a Saul condition where we needed a conversion experience in our lives. And Jesus is just waiting right there, right at the cusp of when we need Him. That day in 2010 when I gave my life back to Jesus Christ, it was a conversion experience. It was a road to Damascus experience in my life. And when Jesus comes on the scene, that's when things happen in your life. That's when things really start to move and operate in your life. When God shows up, when Jesus shows up, the miraculous starts happening. People get healed. People get delivered. My life is changed upside down. And I thank God today for this church, for you folks, for people who say, you know what? I'm going to be like the Church of Acts. And when you receive Christ into your heart, when you receive what He's done in your life, you can't but help but tell somebody. You cannot contain yourself. You cannot figure out. You got to just tell somebody. I was preaching this morning. Side note. I was preaching this morning on the leper. The leper, when Jesus just touched him, he was cleansed, right? And what did Jesus tell him to do? Shh, go tell him the Moses way. Go tell him what we, you know, the old way we do things. But he could not contain himself. That very next verse, he was telling every single person that Jesus, this man from Galilee, has touched my life. He's changed me. He's set me free. He's converted me. And in verse 1 in chapter 9, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. One religion will never save you. Religion will get you nowhere. Docking a seat in a church will get you nowhere. Listen, I'm not saying that to be crude. I was there. I was born and raised in church. I was born and raised to know the isms and all those different things. But until I had an encounter, nothing happened in my life. Nothing happened in my life but negative. And as Saul's going through, we'll see right here, and desired him a letter to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the way is you tonight. If you're a blood-bought child of the living God, you are in the way, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is Jesus Christ and the power from Calvary that gives you life in your body, that gives you the answers that you need for your life. And Saul is seeking all the wrong things. He honestly thinks in his heart that he's doing the right thing. He says, I'm trying to stop these crazy people. I'm a fanatic for Jesus. I tell my church all the time, I said, come on to next service. I might burn myself on fire. You never know. You got to keep them on their toes. You got to keep them excited about the things of God. And a conversion experience. We just had the band Sabor come up. And now sometimes you think, you know, when you're pioneering that, once you do an event, you're going to see the floodgates open. You know, you're excited. You're like, man, there's going to be like 100 people come in from that thing. And it's just going to be miraculous. And don't get me wrong. You're believing that. I believe that with all my heart. Everything we do is 100%. 100% for God. Everything we do as a church, as a fellowship, is pointed towards souls. Is pointed to people like me that was a castaway. People look at me, they see the tattoo, they're like, what, pastor? Where? Where'd he go? I said, no, I'm right here. I'll let God touch your life. Don't worry about me. Let God do the work. And Saul is trying to get at these people. He has a letter that it could go, he could go to Damascus and just catch up all these people. He was killing people. He was murdering women, children. He did not care just because of the name of Jesus. Religion will tear down a nation. Religion will confuse a nation. You can look around. I won't get into that, but a lot of these nations are ruled by religion and they have nothing to show for it. But when you have the power of the cross of Jesus Christ flowing from your life, God begins to move. God begins to show up on the scene. And it's the power of God that we need in the Church of Acts experience. The power of God to show up when you need Him. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him light from heaven. This was not a Pink Floyd concert. This is and was an experience of heavenly magnitude. A divine appointment for Saul. A divine appointment. You can look back in your life and see where that divine appointment was. I know exactly where I was and my wife was when we got saved. I remember the very spot. I was right down the street. I don't remember the name of the apartments, but I was in an apartment on the first floor. It had that little balcony area, and we were out there. It was the afternoon. I was drinking, smoking. I know, yeah, pastors don't do that. Not anymore. And so my wife's there. She didn't like to say that she smoked, but she, you know, picked it up every once in a while. And she liked the wine, you know what I mean? So we're there. We're just having a good time. We're living for ourselves. We're living and the light hits us. Now, it wasn't like Saul's, like a beam, like you're at a rock concert or something. No. But God showed up. And a conversion experience happened. And ever since 2010, and it wasn't even like someone just, you know, fire and brimstone, you know, they were throwing, you know. It was a simple track. It was a simple handing of a flyer. It was a breakaway flyer. And boy, breakaway would change your life. In more ways than one. Pastor Marshall ain't here, so I could bust on him. Listen, man, he rolled me like a redheaded stepchild. And I needed that in my life, though. That conversion experience. I had other families in this church invest in my wife and I. And it's never been the same. It has never been the same. Where God shows up, That's where you want to be. That's why you're at Sunday night service. That's why you go to Wednesday night service. I know the Smos, they come in the morning. That's great. Praise God. We're believing God to move on their lives. But these are the faithful. You are the faithful to the Church of Acts. You are the beacon of hope when there seems no hope. Your life. Listen, the battle is not here. It's out there. The devil wants you to lose. If you're really serving him, that's why Saul had such a dramatic experience, because he was such on fire for the world. He needed an experience of Jesus Christ of this magnitude to transform his life, to transform him from the ways that he used to be. Listen, when the Bible says you are dead in Christ, you are buried into Christ's death. Everything about you is buried in his death. And when you come up, you are new. You are new. And right here it says in verse 4, that and he fell to the earth. It rocked his world. It rocked his world. Humility will knock you to the ground. No one is past ever going back to being a Saul. Don't ever think that you're above anybody. I always tell my church, listen, I am the worst sinner around. Still today, striving, seeking God, looking for God to answer the things in my life, to help me with, listen, you battle the flesh each and every day. I know you guys are all saved here, but I still struggle. I still need God to show up for me each and every day. That's why you get to pray. That's why you get to read your word. That's why you get to go outside the four walls and reach the lost. Continuing in reaching the lost. Listen, whenever I'm down or I am low in spirit, try witnessing to somebody. It'll boost your spirit up. Say, man, this stuff really works. The church grows because of you. Because of me. Not just because I have the mic. I don't need no mic, first of all. Second of all, it's on us. It says in Mark chapter 6, even, go into all the world, right? And preach the gospel to every creature. That's your job. It didn't say, oh, Pastor Jones, you only. Pastor Paul, you only. No, it's everybody. It's everybody. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and he will add everything else unto you. And there will be a transformation in your life that is unexplainable. Just recently, back to my story about Sabor, you thought I forgot, but praise God I didn't. We didn't think that anybody would show up. And like 2 or 3 weeks later, this family showed up. This is a mom and her son. And from that conversion experience, she wasn't given a flyer. She was just walking along in the park. And we just grabbed her, man. We just grabbing everybody. When you're out there, you just say, hey, you need Jesus. Hurry up. You know, you just throwing them in. Get in there. Even it's fire insurance for another hour. Praise God. And you see this working out in her life, and I seen her come in, and first she calls me, and I'm like, who is this lady? You know, I had no idea. But she starts saying, listen, my daughter's friend has got demons, has got devils. I'm like, sweet, bring her to church. Bring her to church, and I said, we'll cast them devils out. She's like, okay, I'll bring them. I said, bring them, and we'll cast them out. So praise God, she shows up. She didn't bring the devils with her, though. She just brought her and her son. I was like, dang it, man. I want to see some action here. But praise God, the conversion experience in her life is unexplainable. It's a Kairos thing. It's a Kairos moment in someone's life. I honestly thank God every day that I'm saved. That Jesus shed his blood just for me. If I was the only person left ever to come, he would have came just for me. And this lady, her name is Jamie, but eventually she brought her son. Her son got saved. He gave his life to Christ. He's like, hey, pastor, can I get a Bible? I said, sure, I'm probably got some Bible in here. And I said, all right, I'll give you a Bible. Then they're like, you know, do you want to sign it? I said, whatever, I'll sign it. Who cares? And then, you know, and they're excited about the things of God. And then she brings her daughter. And then she brings the daughter's friend. They get saved. The devils are casted out of her. It didn't happen that service, but it happened in the next service. And God continued. It's a chain of grace, chain of mercy, that Jesus comes to set men free, women free. There's power in outreaching. There's power in doing the will of God for your life. I would never think back in 2010 I'd be here today. I promise you. There's some of you, I've worked with some of you. You know I should not even be here today. And I know you're like, what? That guy's getting sent down? That guy's a nut. I said, I know, I'm crazy. You got to be crazy. To pioneer, it's exciting. I love it. I love it. Because I see when people come in and they're broken and hurting, and you see God start turning their situations slowly but surely. They're getting locked in. They're seeing the power of God move in their life, and they had a Saul experience. And everybody always says, the grass is greener when you get saved. The sky is bluer when you get saved. Because it's like the scales, as Paul, in his situation, the scales fell from his eyes. And everything's new. You're new. No matter what you've done in your life can be washed in the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. That's one of my favorite songs right there. We sing that at our church. I was excited. I was like, praise God. That's awesome. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the name of Jesus can set you free. Nothing in this world, no psychology, no drugs, no nothing can satisfy the soul of man but the name of Jesus Christ, the name of a living God. We were on outreach. I don't remember what month, what day, I don't know. But in our community, there's a lot of Somalians. And most of the Somalians, they're Muslim believers, whatever. And so I knocked on this door. And a Muslim opens the door. And I'm a guy of confrontation. I don't mind it. So I was like, hey, so what do you believe? You know, I was like, yeah, I know about Muhammad. I know about that guy. He's dead, isn't he? I said, my God is still alive. Jesus Christ is still alive. Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. All these other religions are dead. But the name of Jesus lives forever. Praise God. And Muslim said, no, 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 no. I said, yes, yes, yes. I said, and your wife doesn't have to wear that garbage anymore. She could be set free. She could be delivered. And you too. Let it fly. Don't be scared of no devil out there. You got authority in Jesus' name. You got authority to witness and see people set free, whether they like it or not. Let them get mad. I ain't here to make friends. I'm here to make disciples, to see people make heaven their home. And see God move in the miraculous in people's lives. And in verse 5 it says, and he said, where are you, Lord? In that moment, he had faith to believe in Jesus. That Lord is the Lord, is Jesus Christ. He said, where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. People will persecute you. church people will persecute you. People who you think are your family and friends will persecute you. I don't care. I need Jesus to move in my life. I need Jesus to move in my city. I need Jesus to move in this city. This is a beacon of hope. This is a beacon of hope for all these crazy people in Colorado Springs. And there's a beacon of hope in Greeley, Colorado. There's a beacon of hope in Longmont. There's a beacon of hope in Cheyenne. There's a beacon of hope in Fort Morgan. There's a beacon of hope in Denver. There's a beacon of hope in Denton. There's a beacon of hope in Carlton, Texas. Praise God. We need hope in our lives. We need a Damascus experience. And if you don't have that tonight, you're going to get the opportunity to burn yourself on fire for Jesus. To get excited about the things of God. Get excited about what God can do in your life. He can take rags to riches. I was rags, worth nothing, and he's given me everything. Everything I'd ever need in my life. Not want, need. Jesus is not a slot machine. Jesus wants our faith in him. That's it. And he'll produce a work in your life. He'll produce change and hope for your life. You are the Church of Acts. We should act like the Church of Acts. If they can't tell a difference from you here and when you step out that door, there's something wrong. And it ain't wrong with the preaching, it's wrong with you. We got to get our hearts right. I got to get my heart continually right before God. Or I'll slip. Or I'll fall. The cross is everything. Not in the sense of the wooden beam, but what Jesus accomplished. Why do you think Jesus said his name to Saul? Because he hated that name. He hated the name of Jesus. He hated that name. He hated to even hear that name. Because they didn't believe that he was the Messiah. His own people did not believe that the Messiah would actually come down and be born in the ghetto, be raised up, die for us. Die, give his life for us. They thought he was going to come back as a mighty man to get the kingdom of Jerusalem back. Oh, he's going to get it back. Don't worry. He's going to get it back in full and plus. But Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is our only answer. And when you folks, every year in conference, when you send out a couple, that's a beacon of hope going into a city. That's why we don't have the banners here, but in our church we got the banners up. It says, reach, teach, send. First is reaching the lost, changing someone's path. They're on the way to hell. You need to smack them, get them on the other side. You know, when people are driving on the road and it's a two-lane road and the slow people are supposed to get on the right side of the road and you're like flashing. I'm the flasher. I'm like, get out of the way. Get out of my way. I got things to do. That's what you need to do to people. Hey, pull over. Get over. Stop. 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 Do not go that way. It's a dead end. It's lost eternally. Amen. There's only two decisions you'll ever make in your life, is to live for Jesus or live for the devil. That's it. It's simple. The good news of Jesus Christ is simple. Live by faith and you got it. Now applying God's word to your life helps you become a seasoned Christian. You're not an infant anymore. When I first got saved, Sam and Sylvia used to have me over the house. I got to embarrass them too. And when I first got saved, we play cards, and I'd always go outside. I'd always make up some excuse, you know. Oh, I got a talk on the phone. My mom's calling. I swear. This is what I used to do. And I just used to go out there to hide and smoke cigarettes. I didn't like doing it. There was something in my heart. I was like, what's wrong with you? I just needed help in my life. I needed God to deliver me. And some people think, oh, no, you got to get it all together before you come to Jesus. Heck no, I had nothing together. I had nothing together. I needed Jesus to step in. I needed a Pink Floyd concert. I'm just kidding. I needed the light of Jesus Christ. I'm just making sure you guys are awake. You didn't think you were at a Pink Floyd concert. Praise God. But you see the change in somebody's life. And that family, it encouraged our people to actually see new people come in. It's encouraging to see that, hey, all the hard work, it's paying off. It's paying off. Seeing souls saved. We've had at least 8 people get saved in the past couple weeks. That's revival. That's revival in Greeley, Colorado. They're a bunch of heathens over there. They can tell you. They know. Them people need Jesus. We got all sorts of types. They like the WWE. We got all sorts of types, man. It's amazing what God will do in a life if you surrender to Him. If you just surrender everything where you're at. Okay, to chapter 28. That was a long one. 2 miracles. Miracles happen. In chapter 28, verse 3, it says, if you're there, hallelujah. All right, praise God. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. He just got bit by a viper. Ow. I would be crying, man. I don't know about you, but I'm a big wimp. I don't like bumps. I don't like bruises. And he just gets bit by a viper, and he just shakes that thing off. But there's a reason why. You will never die before your time is up. What the call of God has for your life. If you're in the perfect will of God, you are immortal until God calls you home when you finish your work. And Paul is in this situation. He's been converted from Saul now to Paul. And just precursor to this, not that just being bit by a viper was enough. He just was shipwrecked. He was just seasick for a bunch of days with 276 people on board. They're all upchucking all over the place, you know what I mean? It's nasty. It's a nasty scene. And he told them not to go. You can go back and read it. I ain't telling you no lie. The Christian life is not easy. Whoever tells you it's easy, they're lying to you. They are lying to you. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Listen, the devil wants you to gain nothing in Christ. That's why it says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants your life. That's why when you get saved, he starts punching, man. He starts throwing everything. He throws family members at you. He throws all sorts of things and different financial struggles. All these different things start compounding on you when you first get saved, when you get really saved. When you really start surrendering your life to the will of God, things get hectic. The storms of life don't ever stop. You have hope at the end of it in Jesus Christ. There's hope at the end of every single situation in your life. I don't care what people tell you. I don't care what the doctor tells you. You can be healed. You can be delivered. And Paul is working right now in the miraculous. You would never think it's the same person. But there's power in the name. There's power in the name of Jesus. And the barbarian saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand. And they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer whom Though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live. So they're saying, dang, this guy's got it rough. He must be all sorts of crazy. That's what people think about you. That you're all sorts of crazy when you get saved. I remember going back home. Not New York. This was Texas. My brother lives in Texas. So I go back home to Texas. And my mom's down there. And we're hanging out. And I'm the designated driver. I don't know what you know. If you know what that means. I'm the designated driver. You could ask your parents later. And so I'm driving down. I'm driving back down this mountain. We came from a racetrack. And my brother's in the passenger seat. I'm driving. And, you know, we're trying to have a good time, you know. And he just says, I don't know what we got started on, but somehow me being saved got brought up, which usually does when there's a real change in your life. It comes up because you don't do the same things. You don't act the same way. You don't curse the same way. You don't do the same things you used to do because there's been a conversion in your life. And he turns to me and says, I know what you once were. The key word once was, man, relax. I said, I ain't like that no more. And my mom's in the back seat. It's like a minivan. And she's in the back seat. She says, no, he's changed. There ain't no way he changed by himself. I was the youngest. So I was just crazy as it is. I was young and dumb. And Jesus stepped in on the scene. And he changed my life. And even though the seas will roar, the storms will get hard, cling to Jesus. Operate as the Church of Acts. There's persecution throughout the whole book of Acts. And at the end of this chapter, I'm going to close with this verse right here. Verse 31. This is the final, this is it. This is the end of the road. Of this chapter, but it's not the end of the road for the Church of Acts. We are an extension of the Church of Acts. We should be an extension of the Church of Acts. Verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with what? All confidence. No man forbidding him. There's no amen. There's no dot, 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 no. It's continuing in the work of God. No matter how hard, no matter what's going on, it's continuing fighting the good fight. If anybody could say it, Paul can say it. Shipwrecked three times, bitten by a venomous snake, didn't even have no power over him, treading on scorpions. That's what we need to do. That's the way we need to be. Fighting and striving for the kingdom of heaven. Believing God for the miraculous. Believing God to set you free. Set you free. Listen, you might be bound tonight by something. You might be actually serving God with all your heart, but you're still bound. Jesus can deliver you. Continue to give it to him. Continue to give it to him. 3 months later, after I got saved, cigarettes were gone. There's hope. There is hope. There is hope. Now, there's much worse things than that, I know, whatever, but that was my thing. There's a whole list of things. You wouldn't want to hear it all. Trust me. Vileness, you can be delivered. If you ain't saved, you can be saved. That's the greatest thing you could ever do in your life. Ever in your life is to surrender. Humble yourself. That leper in Mark, when he saw Jesus, he got down on his knees and said, Jesus, if you will, cleanse me. That leper represents sin. That leprosy represents sin in our lives. If you don't ever surrender those things to him, how can you be delivered? How can you be changed? How can you be changed to go out there and show others your change? That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be, is the Church of Acts. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In reverence to God. Listen, my life was full of turmoil, storms, chaos. Oh, and guess what? It still is today, but I have Jesus now. I'd rather go through every battle with Jesus than without him. And as the musicians come, search your heart. David said continually, search my heart, O Lord. Search my heart. Listen, we need Jesus. If you're saved in this house, you better just start speaking in tongues, because there's people here that need to be saved. There's people here that need deliverance. There's people here that need a miracle in their lives. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, you know what? Preacher, I don't know this Jesus you're talking about. I don't know him as my personal Savior. You can tonight. You can know that you know that you know. And if that's you tonight, you just slip up your hand real quick and say, you know what? I want God to forgive me. I want a new life. I want a new talk. Slip up your hand real quick. Don't let these moments pass you by. This might be your last opportunity. This past Friday, I did a funeral for this young man. I mean, he's only in his 50s. And within 2 months, he was diagnosed and dead. That's quick. That's quick. That's how fast life comes and goes that quick. You need Jesus tonight. Just slip up your hand. Surrender to him. He'll change it. He'll turn it around for you. Praise God. Well, you're all saved, and you all have needs. And tonight, I'll change the order of the service. If you have a need in your life, whether it's a physical need, a financial need, a marriage need, whatever that need is, you need a Damascus experience. You need Jesus to step on the scene. I want anybody who needs something from the Lord tonight, it's going to take courage. If you need healing in your body, we're going to do a prayer line. I'm going to pray for each and every person individually. God put this on my heart. Whatever you need, I will intercede for you. I want to believe God for your situation. So as they sing, you come right here and stand if you need something from God, whatever it is, and we'll believe God.
I am free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. There's no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.